You're tuned in to an hour of what's scoring locally, across the country, and around the world. Spud Sports Sunday with Ryan McKenna on 102.1 Spud FM.
All right. Everything Classic, 102.1 Spud FM. Good evening and welcome to Spud Sports Sunday. It's our sixth episode of the summer. And it's with myself, your host, Ryan McKenna. Spud Sports Sunday is PEI's only sports talk radio show. And this week, we're going to take a look at a few different sports, including beach volleyball, golf, harness racing, and of course, as always, the Blue Jays report and baseball. So week two gets underway tomorrow at the Canada Games, and we sat down with Kendall Steele, Alec Parise, and their coach, Andrew Costa, the men's beach volleyball team on PEI, to talk about their chances at the 2013 Canada Games in Sherbrooke, Quebec. At 7:15 this evening, Dallas Desjardins, general manager at the Summerside Golf and Country Club, year-end review. He'll talk about his golf club and what lies ahead for the club. Ed Hanzerich, the owner of Awareness Golf in Nova Scotia, will talk about the services that he does and why he has become one of the best golf teachers in Canada. Mark Campbell, one of the best harness racing drivers in PEI, he'll talk about his chances at Old Home Week racing as well as the Gold Cup and Saucer. We'll wrap up the show this week with the Blue Jays report with Jeremy Pearl. We'd like you to interact with us here at Spud FM and on Spud Sports Sunday. Check us out on Facebook, 102.1 Spud FM, as well as on Twitter, at Spud FM, or you can follow me at RyGuy11. Spud Sports Sunday is broadcasted live on 102.1 Spud FM, as well as online at www.spud.fm. If you missed tonight's episode, or if you want to listen to it once again, the podcast version will be available on our social media pages later this evening, as well as on iTunes under Sports Superstation. With week one of the 2013 Canada Games finishing up on Friday, athletes and organizers both had a couple days to recover here yesterday and today. PEI did great in the first week, capturing two medals, both silvers in wrestling. Competition starts back up tomorrow, Monday, with a number of different sports, including athletics. There's going to be basketball, canoe kayak, cycling, diving, fencing, soccer, and of course, beach volleyball. Speaking of the sport, Summerside has two of its own competing in beach volleyball at the 2013 Canada Games. Kendall Steele and Alec Parise are both members of Team PEI men's beach volleyball team, along with their coach, another Summerside native and former Canada Games competitor, Andrew Costa. Before they left for Sherbrooke, Quebec, they stopped by Spud FM Studios to chat about the games, the sport of beach volleyball, and their chances. Continuing the theme here in the past few weeks on Spud Sports Sunday, we're going to do week three of Canada Games athlete profiles. And joining me this week on the show, we have three great athletes. Well, one of them's a coach, but three great athletes nonetheless. And it's the Canada Games PEI beach volleyball team, Kendall Steele, Alec Parise, and Andrew Costa joining me in the studio. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
So, tell our listeners a little bit about the sport of beach volleyball. I know it's only played with two players instead of the typical six that you would see in indoor volleyball. Are there any other big changes that you will notice while watching the sport other than, I guess, the fewer players? Kendall?
Yeah, I mean, there's different rules, I guess, with hands for setting kind of thing. Your hands have to become in upward motion. They can start from low, so as it, well, in indoor, it's more so you have to start from high. So sometimes there's a lot of hands calls. The court is smaller. It's actually 8x8 meters, whereas the normal court's 9x9 meters. Basically, off the block, if someone hits a ball and it goes off the block counts as your first hit, whereas in indoor, the block doesn't actually count as your first hit, so... those are just a few rules, yep, that are a little bit different. It doesn't make a huge drastic change, but one of the major things I think that makes a big difference is the wind and playing in the sand, which makes a big difference between indoor and beach.
Which one do you guys prefer more? All three of you have played indoor and you've played outdoor as well. Is there any preference that you guys have, indoor or outdoor, beach or just regular volleyball?
Myself, I prefer beach volleyball. I played indoor at UNB. But I'm making the transfer next year to go play basketball, but I really enjoy playing beach volleyball. I feel like it's a lot, you have to be a lot more mentally checked, so Yeah.
Actually, that brings me to a great question, Alec. And you did play volleyball last season, and you're going over to basketball. Did playing for the Varsity Reds this past season help you get ready for the Canada Games?
Oh, it was a tremendous experience. Yeah, I feel like I'm a lot quicker off of just services, getting there behind the balls and stuff. So, I mean, it just helped me a lot mentally and physically as well, yeah.
So, Andrew, maybe this is a good question for you. Do you feel as though men's beach volleyball gets a bad reputation, that more people pay attention to the female beach volleyball rather than the male version?
It's definitely not a bad thing to go check out the girls playing, but in all seriousness, guys' men's volleyball is very competitive and a very high-level sport. I was kind of touched on a few of the differences between the indoor and beach game. Some people watch beach and say, I could do that, but when you go and watch real high level, it's actually incredible how athletic some of those top level athletes are. And going into the Canada Games, as everyone knows, it's going to showcase the best in the country. So it's definitely something I would suggest for people to go out and watch if they're going to make the trek up to Sherbrooke.
So, Kendall, this question for you, and of course, Kendall Steele, Alec Parise, and Andrew Costa, the coach of the PEI beach volleyball team, joining me here for Spud Sports Sunday. You guys are in Pool A with Ontario, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Nova Scotia. Of those four provinces, which one do you guys feel that you can compete with?
Well, we feel like we can compete with all four. We've seen, Ontario's always strong, but we've seen them play this summer. We both feel like we can compete with them and at least take sets off them and try to compete as much as we can and fight for it. We played Nova Scotia quite a bit over the last 3 years, and we definitely feel like we can beat them. And just from knowing Saskatchewan and Manitoba, what they're like, what they usually send, we feel like again we can compete with them and even beat them if the time is right and we're playing well.
So, Andrew, this question going back to you. How did it come about that you started coaching this team and going to Canada Games with them? I know you're only 23 years old, and not too long ago, you were playing volleyball yourself.
I played back in 09. I guess growing up in PEI, I had a lot of opportunity growing up and got to travel a lot with the sport, and volleyball PEI has done tenfold for me as an athlete. So when the opportunity came that I guess I was done playing competitive sports with PEI specifically, I reached out at the opportunity to try and give back to the province. And I've grown so much as a coach and a player myself after I've started with these guys in 2011. And I guess I just knew the group of guys that were coming up and started off with 8 guys 3 summers ago and so dwindled it down to finally I got Kendall and Alec. And, with all honesty, I just couldn't be happy with the group I have selected now.
Explain a little bit about that process of how you select your team. How did you dwindle it down from 8 to now 2?
Well, some provinces, what they do in larger provinces, they might do a tryout selection, like a tournament-based selection, where a team will try out specifically, and if that team wins the tournament, they'll represent that province. With PEI and beach volleyball not being a huge sport at the moment, we're trying to grow it and whatnot, I decided to reach out to the 8 athletes in the age category that I thought were the strongest indoor athletes at the time. And, slowly just would rotate them. They'd have a new partner every tournament. We'd work with different partners in practices, and I'd just kind of get a feel for players playing with certain other players. And at the end of the day, I felt that as though Alec and Kendall were the strongest group that I could combine to represent the province.
Sounds good. So talking about representing the province, you need to train hard to get to the Canada Game level. Alec, why don't you explain to our listeners a little bit about how the training goes for this sport. It's in the summer, and there isn't a whole lot of sand indoors. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, we would train a lot in the gym, just like we had a certain volleyball workout that we followed from UNB, and that would keep us fit as well. So, I mean, we'd mostly just practice indoor or get as many reps as we could indoor and then just translate that into beach. So I feel like that really helped us a lot. So Kendall was a coach for the Acadia women's team, so he'd always be in there playing with the girls, and then I would be playing with UNB, so I felt like that kept us in volleyball mode, I suppose.
And Kendall, that leads me to my next question. You're a bit of a different situation here. You don't actually play varsity volleyball, but you are a coach on the women's team with the Acadia Axe Women. How do you get your reps in and stay ready for competition?
Over the last couple years, I guess, it's just been jumped into practice as much as I can. And Costa gave me just some stuff, like sheets of stuff to do, kind of reps throughout the day. So on top of the workouts that I would do, so I'd usually work out 4 or 5 times a week. And then plus I would do the reps 3 times a week usually. So, I mean, it just kept touches up, which is pretty much in volleyball. I mean, you get it out of, like, sync, I guess, if you're not getting touches. So it was good to at least keep those up over the last couple years. I felt like it made a big difference starting out in the summertime, because then you're not just starting from scratch, which is nice.
The men's beach volleyball PEI team joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. Now, Andrew, you played volleyball for the University of New Brunswick Varsity Reds in the AUS and the CIS as well. You won a championship doing so. How does the feeling of winning translate to success now at the Canada Games?
I mean, obviously it helps. It was a big moment, I guess, 3 years ago when we won our first AUS title, first time in about 30-plus years. And then, you know, capturing another one on my final year this season was a great way to leave. But obviously winning in any sport gives positive mindsets or outtakes from the matches. And I just think being from the Canada Games specifically in 2009, knowing how the teams are and what the experience is like, I've just tried to prep the guys mentally and physically as best as I could, and I feel as though they're ready for the competition in the next couple of days.
So any one of you guys can answer this question, but do you find that the weather and the different location can play a difference in your game? You know, you're going to Sherbrooke, Quebec. The climate's a little bit different, not a whole lot different than here on PEI, but it is a little bit different. Is the sand any different in the different locations that you go and play in and the different venues?
Yeah, definitely. Most venues that we play at are different. We play a lot of Parley Beach, played in Halifax a few times, and it's different than our sand. Our sand is the stuff mostly from the last Canada Games in 2009, so it's pretty similar to what's going to be there in Quebec. So we definitely got a benefit from training on that. Where the courts are in Summerside, there's a lot of wind coming up from the water, so we definitely had to practice over the last 3 years a lot with wind. The Canada Games facility, I believe, in Sherbrooke, where we went and competed there last summer for a training session, there isn't a lot of wind, so that'll be a benefit for us, but we're so used to playing in the wind that it's not really a big deal anymore. So, I mean, the wind and the rain are two big factors. I mean, rain's not a huge deal anymore. Just turns your setting from hand setting to bump setting, and then other than that, the sand plays a little bit of a factor, but, you know, you get used to it as it goes and you adapt.
Andrew, this question for you once again, and the PEI men's beach volleyball team joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. How is your team seeing game action and prepared for competition going into the Canada Games?
We actually have a fellow Islander, Chris Kingens, who comes out pretty regularly to our practices. Chris was the 21U Atlantic Beach Volleyball Champion, or a member of the team, in 2011, the year before Alec and Kendall won. And so, you know, great person to have out and do scrimmages with, but I'm a firm believer in that scrimmages aren't always what teams need. You know, you work on basics and fundamentals and you can build up from there. And, you know, we created games to create game-like pressure situations where it only involves me plus the two athletes. And I found it's worked great wonders. And I've seen tremendous success with the guys just by doing small drills like that.
Alec, this question for you. You guys are playing in the second week of competition at Canada Games. Does seeing other teams succeed and do well on Prince Edward Island in week one of competition motivate you at all?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's going to be my first Canada Games, so I didn't really know what to expect. And then I would see all these pictures on Facebook and then on Twitter as well. So that for sure gets me excited to see what the second week's going to lie. So,
Kendall, speaking of Alec, you said it was your first Canada Games. Kendall, this is your second Canada Games. You competed in 2009 with the men's basketball team whenever it was here on Prince Edward Island. What's different this time around?
I guess not to say that we were spoiled at the first games, but we were kind of spoiled, whereas everything was focused on us and everything was happening. I know a lot of athletes might have enjoyed it, but I'm sure some athletes kind of got frightened by it and pressured. But going to Quebec, we're just treating it like another tournament, a little bit more excitement. We're prepared mentally for the festivities and for all the things that are going to come, especially with crowds. If we end up playing Quebec, you know what I mean, the crowds are going to be big. But I think mentally we're just treating it like another tournament. Just we want to keep everything the same, and we're succeeding by doing that, so we want to try to keep doing that.
You know, you have the experience in living in the Games Village and whatnot, and are you able to translate that over to Alec at all?
I guess living in the I was thinking about it the other day, and living in the athlete's village is kind of like living in res at university. You know what I mean? There's people always keeping you up.
Good old res life.
Yeah. So people always keeping you up. People always doing this and that. So I think Alec will be okay to do it. There's not a whole lot to say, especially because the three of us are actually staying in the same room together, so we don't have any athletes in our room, so that makes a big difference. We've been to Toronto, we've been to Montreal, we've been everywhere together, kind of. So, I mean, we're used to each other, and we know what each other needs for sleep-wise and stuff, so that definitely helps.
Definitely team chemistry can play a big factor in a tournament like this. Andrew, my final question for you guys today, what do you like most about your team heading into Sherbrooke?
Man, the list could probably go on here. Two guys that I have, hands down, you know, the passion and the effort they put into practice and training the last couple of years, you know, I couldn't ask for a better group. And not only a better group, but a better, not just athletes, but people in general. You know, they're good people. And, you know, I don't really think they'll represent the province well off the court, but I think this group is really going to have the opportunity to turn heads and make larger provinces question the ability of Prince Edward Island at these games. You know, we're hoping for a great finish, and we think that we're very capable of doing that.
Andrew Costa, Alec Parise, Kendall Steele, thanks so much for joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. Your guys' first game is Monday against Nova Scotia. Best of luck, guys.
Thank you.
That was an interview from earlier this week before the men's beach volleyball team here on PEI. Andrew Costa, Alec Parise, and Kendall Steele all left for Sherbrooke, Quebec. You can follow Team PEI as well as the boys on Twitter at team_PEI. And best of luck all week to those two Canada Games athletes as well as their coach, Andrew Costa. Next Sunday on the show, I'll be sure to let you guys know how they fared out. Stay tuned here on Spud Sports Sunday, as coming up next, we chat with Dallas Desjardins, general manager of the Summerside Golf and Country Club, who will fill us in on the growth of the junior golf program at the club. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Kendall Steele.
Hi, I'm Alec Parise.
And I'm Andrew Costa, and we'd just like to send out a thanks to Maui Sportswear for our sponsorship this summer, and you're listening to Spud FM.
102.1 Spud FM. You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday with Ryan McKenna on 102.1 Spud FM.
Welcome back from the break. You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday. I'm Ryan McKenna, your host for the show. It's PEI's only sports talk radio show, and it's also August 11th. There's only two more episodes of the show left after this one, and that means that, well, summer has flown by, hasn't it? With the club championships going on this weekend at the Summerside Golf and Country Club, it seems like an appropriate time to review the summer that was for the local golf course. Joining me now on Spud Sports Sunday, it's the general manager at the Summerside Golf and Country Club, Dallas Desjardins. How are you doing, Dallas?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's going to be awesome. So another year is wrapping up at the Summerside Golf and Country Club with the club championships going on this weekend. How would you evaluate the year at Summerside?
So far, it's been tremendous. I hope we're not wrapping up quite yet. Last year, we actually went late into the fall for the first time, which is nice, and we'll continue the same trend this year. But it's been a tremendous year at the club. The weather at the start of the year was a little bit finicky, but we came through a real good stretch there and had one of the best Julys that I can ever remember on record. Course is in wonderful shape. We keep on getting comments, especially from tourists, how great of a track it is. So things are looking really good.
So, Dallas, your golf program, your junior golf program, it's a huge success. I saw one of your tweets that said that there was 106 kids out in stretching one day. Would the golf junior program, in your opinion, be one of the top programs that Summerside Golf Club has to offer?
It definitely is. It's one of our flagship programs. It's been building over the last numerous years, and this year we had our highest participation rates ever. We have 140 kids registered, and we consistently have over 100 kids participate each day, and we play actually 3 days per week for 8 weeks. So it's a tremendous program. We were fortunate enough to implement a lot of things into it this year. Fitness is one of them, so we make sure to do a warm-up and a stretch and that sort of stuff. But there's guidelines that we have to follow now that we just got certified as Atlantic Canada's only National Junior Golf Development Center. So we're going to be tracking these athletes all throughout their career. And the nice thing is they'll be tracked through the national database that college recruiters and coaches will keep an eye on. So if there's any standout players, we hope their education gets paid for in the end through some U.S. scholarships or Canadian scholarships.
So it's almost like an extra motivator better now for kids who have a passion for golf to continue to golf and continue to get better through this program?
It definitely is, and it's quite neat, actually. There's a benchmarking process, and I actually just came right from one of the lesson days, and during the lesson day, we did a skills clinic so they can see with their driving, iron play, chipping, and putting where they rank in Canada for their peers amongst their age group. So things like that will give them a little bit of extra motivation to see where they stand and see where they need to get to. And then, you know, we've been doing some great things with the Canadian Golf team, or the PEI team for Canada Games, and they, you know, we're now getting athletes for these juniors to look up to. So, you know, a couple good motivators, and hopefully if we do have some breakthrough talent, there'll be a real boom here soon. So,
Dallas DeJardins, general manager at the Summerside Golf and Country Club, joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. So, Dallas, how are you able to attract so many young kids to play the game of golf? You mentioned that it's your highest year for amount of kids yet.
I think it's just making sure that it's a really fun atmosphere. We change it up all the time, so they're not doing the same thing day in, day out. We do a play day, a skills day, and a lesson day, and even within those days, we change it up. But one of the biggest things we always focus on is a safe atmosphere for all, making sure that, as you can appreciate, when there's 100 kids swinging golf clubs, that nobody's going to get hit in the side of the head or anything. Next year, we're growing so big, we're going to actually have to look at more sessions. Currently, we break it down so that our numbers aren't too big, and this year we're pretty much at our peak. It's a good thing we have a lot of volunteers, so it looks like if we keep growing for next year, we'll just add a few more sessions, keep it fun and safe, and hopefully we'll see a great turnout again.
That's great. So coming up next on Spud Sports Sunday, we'll speak to Ed Hanzarek, who is ranked as, you know, one of the best teachers in Canada, especially in Atlantic Canada, by a few different publications. We'll get into his opinion on this as well, but Dallas, in your opinion, what is the trick to teaching youth about the game of golf?
Well, it's actually really easy to teach youth. They can change their motor skills so quickly because nothing is ingrained or developed yet. So, you know, as long as you work on the core fundamentals and you work on their balance and that sort of stuff, it comes very naturally to them. It's a lot easier than teaching somebody who's been swinging the wrong way for 20 or 30 years. That's a lot more difficult to fix. But one of the things we try and instill, and another reason why I think our program is so popular with the parents, is we actually teach more than just the golf swing. We're trying to teach honesty and integrity and things that will lead these kids to prosperous lifestyles later on.
So, Dallas, in a lot of different, you know, school sports, especially school golf teams, as well as the Canada Games team, there's always the hunt for female golfers to play the game of golf and participate. Explain to me a little bit about what your numbers are like in the female categories at the Summerside Golf Country Club this year.
Well, we've taken steps in the past. We always have beginner ladies clinics for the last 5 years now, which are always really well attended. So our numbers for first-time female golfers seem to be growing a little bit. We do have our core sort of female base, but it is relatively small. We have about 20, but then we have about another 30 to 40 that play once in a while on top of that. So it's better than it has been, but the real nice thing to see, again, going back to our junior program, is that we have 30 young girls coming up through the program. So as long as we continue to make sure that we hit every generation, you know, we're going to be seeing that number grow quite a bit.
So when is the course planning on actually closing this season? I know you said last year you went quite well into the fall. Is there any plans so far for this season?
Yeah, well, what we did last year, actually, is you can play as long as there's no snow or frost on the ground. If you want to go out, there's nobody in the shop. It's all shut down after October 31st. But then we do go around the golf course every once in a while to see if anybody's playing, and it'll be $20 green fees for anybody that's on the course. So we went all the way through till December last year.
Wow, that's impressive. And it still wasn't snowing by then?
Not until December 4th, I believe it was.
Oh, wow.
But somebody might correct me on that.
Right on. Well, are you guys planning on doing any renovations to the course over the wintertime?
Well, we not major renovations. One thing that we are doing and we're doing currently actually is building a new number one tee deck. One of the last issues with the golf club right now was the parking lot being so close to the first tee. So we're actually moving the tee deck about 40 yards to the right, joining the existing number three, which will make it a pretty interesting opening shot dogleg over some water, but takes the parking lot right out of play. So that's a renovation we're doing right now. But other than that, you know, we've been doing things throughout the year. We've freshly painted the clubhouse recently. We increased our fertilizer budget yet again, so the grass is healthier than it is, as healthy as it's ever been, which is really good. The greens are superb. Fairways are great. So we're really looking good this for this year and coming years.
That's awesome. Dallas DeJardins, the general manager at the Summerside Golf and Country Club, joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. So, Dallas, this might be a bit of a difficult question, but what's been your favorite moment this year that's happened at the Summerside Golf Course? There's been a lot of different events going on, the Summerside Boys Girls Club Celebrity Golf Tournament being one of them, the Clark Toyota Cup. Do you have a particular moment?
Well, there's a few, because if you look throughout the year, one of the biggest things that happened is getting certified as a National Junior Golf Development Center, and that's going to open up a lot of doors for us. You know, with the help of Golf Canada, as I said, tracking these athletes and their future progress is really good. So it was hard to beat that, but I think you hit one mark there with the Boys and Girls Club. We extended it to 2 days this year, and it's just tremendous to see the turnout, and any time that we can help a community organization, it's a big part of what we do, and we feel that we're, you know, important in helping out those community organizations, and we're very happy that they had such a successful event. So the Boys and Girls Club would probably rank right up there with, as I said, being certified as a National Junior Golf Development Center.
That's great, and it's going to be great going forward too for the youth of Summerside. So Dallas, you're the head coach of Team PEI golf team heading to the 2013 Canada Games in Sherbrooke, Quebec. You leave on Saturday. How's your team looking? What are its chances at the games?
Our team is really strong, and I'm just going to back up just a little bit here to tell you how I got into this for a second. It was kind of funny. Last fall, one of my members came in and said, PEI doesn't have a Canada Games coach. How can PEI not send a golf team? So that's what got me interested. I had no idea how much work was ahead of that, but I tell you what, it was worth every moment. I did it actually because I felt that in 4 years' time, when the next cycle comes around, that we would have tremendous potential from our own golf club. And I was shocked to see the current potential of Island golfers. Actually, we have some really strong athletes. You know, the boys side, we got guys that are consistently shooting in the 60s, which is tremendous. One of them is 14 years old, and he'll actually have a second try in Canada Games, which is phenomenal. He's going to be a player to watch in the near future, that's for sure. And 4 years down the road, he's probably a shoe-in for the Canada Games team again.
And what's his name, Al? Sorry?
Jordan Burt. And then, of course, rounding out the boys, we have Connor Shea, and then Tyson Gavin, who's been in the news a little bit for his performances around the Maritimes. Girls' side is pretty consistent. We got Aaron Brown, Bailey Carr, and Molly Molyneux, and all very strong. Two of them are actually going south on college scholarships this year. So we're looking hopefully to do better than past performances in PEI. I think certain provinces will be surprised.
See, a tournament of this like, though, at the Canada Games, it's always one of those where anything can happen on any given day.
Well, I was talking to the chef de mission, actually, and he sort of told me a little bit of a story, is that you'll be surprised where the winners come from. You know, generally, we do have athletes to look out for in certain sports, but he says, you know what, you're always caught off guard, and there's certain surprises out there all the time. And especially in golf, it's 4 days, it's a lot of holes. 72 holes of golf is a long way to go, and, you know, being how strong some of our athletes are, you never know. It's going to be an interesting week.
Mentally, how are you able to prepare your players for that many holes of golf? Because a lot of these, well, I may be generalizing when I say this, but you don't typically play four-day tournaments every day.
Not this young of age, that's for sure. You know, 4 day tournament is a good stretch. But we've been fortunate enough, actually, we've been training since January, and we actually been on staff have a mental coach, Tara Costello, that's been helping us with routines, making sure that you know our fundamentals are down with our breathing and that sort of stuff, nutrition, making sure we have a proper game plan and certain relievers, de-stressors before and after. So she's been a great help to sort of prepare for something like that. We've also been strength conditioning, which is going to be key because, you know, when that fourth round comes in the St. Lawrence River Valley, it's probably going to be pretty warm. These guys are a lot better conditioned now than they were in January, I feel. So that's going to go a long way to make sure that their stamina stays up and that they continue to finish strong throughout the 4 days.
Dallas Desjardins, General Manager of the Summerside Golf and Country Club, thanks so much for this and best of luck at the 2013 Canada Games.
Thank you very much.
Of course, as mentioned in the interview with Dallas, which was before Dallas left for the 2013 Canada Games, the club championships going on this weekend at the Summerside Golf and Country Club. And you can stay tuned to the club. They're on Twitter at Summerside Golf. If you enjoyed that interview and are a fan of golf and are looking to continuously improve your game, you want to stay locked into Spud Sports Sunday for this next interview with Ed Hanser of Awareness Golf in Nova Scotia. He's next.
You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday with Ryan McKenna on 102.1 Spud FM.
Welcome back from the break. You are listening to Everything Classic 102.1 Spud FM and Spud Sports Sunday. I'm the host for the show, Ryan McKenna. So Ed Hanser, he's a member of the U.S. and the Canadian PGA and has been named one of the top 50 teachers in Canada by the National Post. Locally, Hanser has been named the top teacher in Eastern Canada 4 years in a row. 4 years in a row, that's pretty good. He runs a business out of Dartmouth, Nova Scotia called Awareness Golf, and it uses the most up-to-date and state-of-the-art technology to help improve your game of golf. Here's Ed. Joining me now on Spud Sports Sunday, it's a legend in the world of teaching golf. Ed Hanserik from AwarenessGolf.com joins me. Ed, thanks for joining Spud Sports Sunday.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
So, Ed, you run a program called Awareness Golf. Explain to our listeners a little bit about Awareness Golf and what services you guys provide.
Well, we're sort of a holistic teaching environment in Halifax / Dartmouth. The name awareness implies the mental game, and I've worked very hard on sort of my ability to teach people how to focus and let go and be confident and those kind of things. So that's that's central to this situation. We have expanded from teaching, like the big change in teaching a number of years ago was when video arrived. And video was great, 2D, and people could see what they were doing. But it had some major problems because video, got people into teaching positions. And, where are my arms? And how do I look compared to so-and-so? And it was all about looks. And, in my mind, to be honest with you, I think it had some bad parts as well as good parts. Well, the new sort of revolution in teaching now is 3D equipment and the 3D technology, which goes beyond positions into, movement and force into the ground and how the body is moving. So we have tried to, I work with Todd Bishop, who's a PGA professional as well and played many tours in Florida for years, wonderful teacher, and we've put together... he joined me last year, put together a sort of a whole sort of a 3D array of tools to assess what you're doing. For example, we have a mat for your feet, which is force into the ground, which, again, in the old days before video, that's all the players ever talked about. They talked about their feet. We got into video now, and people don't talk about their feet and the weight and the force into the ground, so that's coming back. So we have that. Then working up, we have the K-Vest, which is another wonderful 3D technology that really checks, addresses what your body is doing. your upper torso and lower torso, the amount of rotation, what your arms are doing. It's quite an extraordinary piece of equipment. And then we have a flight scope, which is a Doppler radar. It's like TrackMan type thing that tracks the club, the ball, and everything that those two are doing.
So, the services that you provided, Ed Hanzarek joining me on the line from Awareness Golf on Spud Sports Sunday. The services that you provide, Ed, are they only offered in Nova Scotia?
Well, looking around at the country, I think we're one of probably three or four venues who has all those pieces of technology. We're pretty much the only one in Nova Scotia that offers that sort of array of equipment that can assess what you're doing and help fix it.
And you're the only one in the Maritimes as well?
Well, I don't want to put my foot in my mouth because maybe there's someone doing it that I don't know who I don't know about. But as far as I know, and we have definitely researched those three technologies, and we're the only ones that I know of that has those three and is integrating the three together so that, they all fit together to give you the whole picture, and then adding in the mental game. I've worked a lot with a fellow who works on the PGA Tour, Dr. Joe Parent, who wrote the book Zen Golf. And he's very sort of, he was named top 10 mental coach on the PGA Tour. He's come out here a number of times, and we've done a lot of work together on that aspect of it. So, that can't be forgotten. When you're working on your swing, you also have to say, well, where's my mind? Where's my focus? And, where's my confidence level? And those kind of things.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, Ed, I was able to check out your website, and you can check out the website, too. It's awarenessgolf.com, and there's tutorial videos for the things that you described, like the flight scope as well as the K-Vest. They're both extremely up-to-date and, I guess, very 2013 technologies, especially in the world of golf. Ed Hanzarek joining me on the line on Spud Sports Sunday. In a business sense, Ed, do you feel as though there's still potential, there's still ways to go?
I do. I mean, we've got the equipment we want. There's absolutely nothing. There are probably some things that are a little more expensive, but as far as what we have, I don't think there's anything missing. So it's up to us, and we're working really hard on integrating, what if your feet do this, if the pressure into the ground does this, then it makes the body do this, and it makes the club do that, and so you've got this sort of lineage, all linked together, and you find the weak link, and then you can sort of, all these pieces of equipment have also sort of training modes. Like, you can put the K-Vest on, Ryan, and if you're, a lot of people overturn in their backswing, their hips just turn too much, shoulders, there's no sort of tension between the two, no coil. So we'll put you on training mode on the K-Vest, and you swing back, and it makes this pleasant sound if you're in the right place. And it sort of goes, you don't hear anything if you're in the wrong place. And, through using auditory feedback, people learn really quickly that way. So all of these have that component to them.
That's very interesting. Ed Hanzarek joining me on the line from Awareness Golf in Nova Scotia. Now, Ed, you're ranked by the National Post as one of the top 50 teachers in Canada and also as a top teacher in Eastern Canada for 4 years in a row. What do you find is the key to your success?
Well, a good teacher, the content, you have to have the content. I mean, you have to be able to assess a student. If you can't do that, then I don't care how good a teacher you are, you're just not going to get any results. So, assessment is the first thing, is to have an eye. And an eye is sort of, in some ways, a gift. Some ways can be learned. I was fortunate to have worked with some of the top teachers in the world when I was in the U.S. And, I just try to pry out of them what makes them good teachers. So, I worked with so many Ledbetters and Runyons and Loves and all these people and sort of put together my terminology, so it's that, but it's also the presentation. And to be able to sort of get out of your own way, get out of your ego, and just look at this student and just sort of put yourself in their shoes. What are they feeling? What are they thinking? You know, what is the cause and effect of this problem? And it could be, I don't know. You probably play golf, don't you, Ryan?
Yes, I do. Yep.
And so you're familiar with the game, and so many people slice the ball. And you know, you say, why do they slice the ball with it? Because they don't know the mechanics. They don't understand that, you know. Let's say a right-handed golf ball is going to go to the right for a right-handed golfer with a slice. What are they going to naturally do? They're going to start aiming left and swinging left. That makes the problem worse. You know, so, you know, understanding the, you know, sort of ball flight laws is very important in making any kind of change, you know, and is the person capable? Is their body capable? So, you know, there's a lot of sort of intuition in teaching as well as strict technical information. So there's a combination of those two, left brain and right brain, I guess you'd say.
Ed Hanser joining me on the line for Spud Sports Sunday, talking a little bit of golf. So, Ed, you're coaching the Nova Scotia golf team at the 2013 Canada Games in Sherbrooke, Quebec, much like how we heard from Dallas DeJardin earlier on this show and how he is coaching Prince Edward Island. What are your thoughts overall on the Nova Scotia golf team heading into the tournament?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting venue. It's unlike any golf tournament in the world. It's like the Olympics. Because there are all these other athletes there, all these other sports, and you can sort of, you can tell as they walk by, oh, that's a baseball player, oh, that's a swimmer. You know, it's kind of interesting. I was at the last games 4 years ago where Nova Scotia did very well. We were leading after the first day, and you know, still in the medals until late in the game, didn't pull it off. Which you know, we hopefully learned from that. We'll see. You know, it's hard to say, but all those distractions of all that, like, is so different than, you know, playing in the national golf championship or the provincials or something. It's just,
it's almost like Ed, like as you mentioned, the mental part of things, they play a key factor in something like this.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because you know what, I haven't even told the team this yet. But what we're going to work on is not going in to win, not going in to get a medal, not going in for any of those reasons. We're going to go in, like the other athletes do, to do their personal best. You know, that's what they're trying, that's what they strive for. It's process rather than outcome. If they can do their personal best, which is in a four-day tournament, whatever that is, and that might be the daily goal, then we'll see where it goes. You never know what's going to happen. You know, if the team comes together and they, you know, it's a best two out of three scores count per day for the team competition. And so, you know, you never know. I mean, two guys get a hot hand. One guy might bomb, or girl. There are three girls and three boys. And you know, it's just fun to see. But, you know, if process comes first, then outcome takes care of itself.
That's what makes golf so much fun. Ed Hanser joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. Ed, thanks so much for this, and best of luck in Sherbrooke, Quebec.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks again. Thanks to Ed once again for doing that. And if you're looking to check out Awareness Golf, their website is called awarenessgolf.com. Changing gears after the break, we'll talk to a top harness racing driver here on PEI for the last 2 years, Mark Campbell.
This is Spud FM.
You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday with Ryan McKenna on 102.1 Spud FM.
Hello. Welcome back from the break. You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday, and I'm Ryan McKenna, your host for the show. If you're listening right now, you can also listen to the podcast version available later on the Spud FM social media pages, 102.1 Spud FM on Facebook, as well as on Twitter, at Spud FM. He's only 28 years old, and he has already more than 1,000 harness racing wins as a driver. His name is Mark Campbell, and he is from Prince Edward Island. He is busy preparing for Old Home Week down in Charlottetown for the Gold Cup and Saucer at Red Shores Racetrack and Casino at the Charlottetown Driving Park. And Campbell will be racing with a ton of different horses this week. He did, however, take a few minutes to talk with Spud Sports Sunday. Joining me now on Spud Sports Sunday, it is harness racing driver here on Prince Edward Island and one of the best, Mark Campbell. Mark, thanks for joining Sped Sports Sunday.
Yeah, no problem.
So, Mark, in January, you were awarded with the Joe O'Brien Award for Horsemanship, which is given to a driver for solid training and driving numbers, and is actually one of the most prestigious awards in Canadian harness racing. What was your reaction when you found out you had won the award?
It was pretty exciting. It was, an unreal feeling. All my family and friends were there. It was pretty cool. Pretty amazing feeling, really.
Yeah, for sure. So, actually, when you won that award, you were quoted as saying that your next goal was 1,000 wins. You got that on July the 4th, racing with Ultimate Faith at the Red Shores Race Track and Casino at Charlottetown Driving Park. What would you say your season so far has been a success?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, driving-wise, I've had a really, really good year, I find. I think I'm driving a little bit better this year. A little more patient, and it seems to be working out. The horse that has my burn, they're all racing good. I don't have any super superstars yet, but there's a few that are kind of going to show up here shortly, I think.
So the season is far from over, and there's still lots of racing left, Mark. The Gold Cup and Saucer is in Charlottetown. Action started on Thursday, with the grand finale taking place on August the 17th. How have you been preparing your horses, as well as yourself, for this big week of racing?
Well, me and my staff, we've just been kind of working a little harder on them. Making sure that they're good and sound, and seem like they're good and tight and ready to race, Just kind of looking after the little details as much as we possibly can.
Mark Campbell, horse racing driver here on Prince Edward Island, joining me with the Gold Cup and Saucer races going on this week down in Charlottetown. So, Mark, can you fill our listeners in on what horses you will be racing this week?
Well, I have a bunch. We race every day. I got a lot of younger horses that are my own barn. But I do have two chances to get in the Gold Cup with one with Escape the News in the first trial. And then I have All Train in the second trial. So hopefully between those two, I can get in and be in the big race. That's what one of my main goals is this year.
That is definitely a goal for sure. Now, you had mentioned that. Any other goals that you have going into this week of racing, Mark?
I just want to have a good week. I want all my horses out of my own barn to race where they can and have a good, successful week. All the owners like getting their picture taken, so we're going to try and get that done for them. Just have a good, solid week and stay healthy and stay safe and have a good week of racing. Hopefully it's successful.
Absolutely. No, Mark, you were quoted in The Guardian as saying that you're aiming for your third consecutive and fourth overall Francis McIsaac Award for the top driver during Old Home Week. How are you going to do that?
I really, it's all kind of luck. If you get some good horses through the week, some hot horses, I call it, win two or three races for you in a couple of days, that's what kind of gets you in the lead and kind of keeps you going. But you got to stay sharp and take any chance you can, and hopefully it's a winning chance.
Mark Campbell, horse racing driver here on Prince Edward Island, and one of the best, joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. So, Mark, in a lot of sports, there's a pregame routine, and some athletes are very superstitious, myself included. Do you have a pre-race routine that you go through?
Not really. I used to be really, really kind of crazy about that kind of stuff, and over the years, it just kind of evolved. Say if I have a big night and I'm wearing some shirt underneath my gear, I might want to, I'll wear that the next night or something like that. But I really, maybe a special pair of goggles or something I'm driving with, I'll wear them if I have a good night and kind of keep it going. But, I just try and keep my, I don't want to get too, I like staying kind of pretty relaxed. And I find I have my better nights if I'm just relaxed and take things as it goes.
For sure. Now, it's now time for the part of the interview where we get a listener question. So this week's listener question for Mark Campbell is, when you're going around the track and you're racing, can you hear track announcer Vance Cameron yelling and announcing all the action?
Sometimes you can hear him. You might be able to hear him at the quarter pole. Coming around the second turn, I can hear him sometimes. Sometimes around the half, I can hear him. Maybe if you're out in front by a couple lengths and there's nobody really around you, you can hear them a little bit, but most of the time you're so focused on there's so many split decisions that you got to make that you're really paying attention just to all the other drivers and horses and your own horse.
So something like that, you know, hearing his voice, even if you did, wouldn't motivate you at all, would it?
Oh yeah, it does for sure. And you know what? Sometimes it'll help you. Like, you know, if he's announcing a horse in the back pack, if you're up close to the front, and you know, you hear a horse, you know, he'll say this horse is moving out or something. That'll help you out because maybe it's one of the better horses in the race. So you kind of have to, you know, race your race. You know, you might have to go a little faster or kind of slow down a little bit or something like that. It can definitely help you sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. Mark yeah. Campbell, horse racing driver, and the most recent award of the Joe O'Brien Award for Horsemanship, one of the most prestigious awards in Canadian horse racing. Heading into Old Home Week and the Gold Cup and Saucer Racing. Mark, thanks for this, and best of luck this week.
No problem. Thank you.
And he's only 28 years old. How crazy is that? Mark Campbell, harness racing driver here in Prince Edward Island, competing for the Gold Cup and Saucer down in Charlottetown, the prestigious award that is. The Blue Jays report, Jeremy Pearl, coming up next on Spud Sports Sunday.
You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday with Ryan McKenna on 102.1 Spud FM.
Welcome back from the break. Hope you're all having a great evening, and thank you very much for tuning in to Spud Sports Sunday right here on Everything Classic 102.1 Spud FM. If you missed tonight's episode, the podcast version will be available later on this evening on our social media pages, 102.1 Spud FM on Facebook, as well as on Twitter, at Spud FM. It's now time for the Blue Jays report, and joining me over the phone is Jeremy Pearl. Jeremy, how you doing, buddy?
I am fantastic. How about yourself?
Cannot complain, and we had some issues with the audio last week. Think we got it all fixed up?
I hope so.
We hope so as well. So, Jeremy, a bit of a slower week in Major League Baseball this past week, and the Toronto Blue Jays season. It seems like people maybe starting to pay a little bit less attention to the Jays now that, you know, they're still in the cellar of the American League East. And I don't know whether it was because they're on a West Coast road trip, or which makes it a little bit tougher for us here on the East Coast to pay attention and watch their games, but I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm just speculating. But nonetheless,
I'm sure it's a combination of a few things. I mean, obviously the team is not performing to the standard that they were hyped up to be, so you know, people tend to lose interest. The fans that are kind of wavering, that you know only went because they were so hyped, they're you know tuning out and whatnot. It's also kind of a lull. You know, it's kind of towards the end of summer. People are probably going on a lot more vacations. It's August, getting ready for school and whatnot. So there's a lot of things kind of people are dealing with during this part of the summer, but I think a lot of it is to do with the fact that the Jays just aren't performing that well.
Yeah, a lot of different factors, but of course the performance of the team, one of them. So, recapping the week that was, Jeremy, they took 2 of 3 from the Mariners earlier in the week, and this weekend they equate the battle with the Athletics with a cello crowd at the Rogers Center today, although they did lose. Can you recap today's game for us?
Well, today's game, you can say they didn't have a lack of opportunities. Honestly, the biggest disappointment today was Jose Reyes, who came up to the plate with the bases loaded twice, once with one out and the second time to end the game. You know, the first time up, he popped out, and the second time out, he grounded out to end the game. And when you have a leadoff hitter who is in that type of a position to, you know, really, well, one, kind of blow the game open. The Jays were up 1-0 at the point of the first time he came up with the bases loaded. And two, the second time, to tie the game, bottom nine, at home, sellout crowd, Sunday afternoon. When you're getting paid like Reyes is, that's one of the biggest moments that you ask him to produce from.
Yes, but in the same sense, Jeremy, Reyes has been one of their most solid players this year, too. Oh. He was injured, but, you know, he's still been great.
Absolutely. I mean, I was going to say that, but it's just disappointing when, as well as he has played, he wasn't able to get that clutch hit. But, you know, there are positives of the game. Dickey played pretty well. He pitched 7 innings, 6 hits, 6 Ks. He got himself into some jams, but he also got himself out of the jams. And another kind of shining light in the last 10, 15 games has been Brett Laurie. He's really starting to hit the ball well. He was 3 for 5 today, a double, an RBI, and he's just showing that he's maturing at the plate. You know, he's fully healthy. He's taking it slower. You know, on defense, he's obviously still playing at rapid pace, but you're starting to see when he's at bat, he's slowing himself down. He's standing a little higher. He's not going out there rushing and swinging and just going in that frenetic Red Bull pace that he always is. He's kind of coming into his own and really showing some plate discipline, which has been huge for him.
And one of those, sorry, Jeremy, to interrupt you, but one of those players that has helped him become that different player and, you know, more calmed down and not so much the Red Bull self is Mark DeRosa. And this week in the Blue Jays waiver wire, the utility manager for the Jays, he was claimed off waivers by an unnamed team. You know, the Blue Jays, they decided to retain his services and he'll remain a Blue Jay until the end of this season. He also has an option for next season. Maybe explain to us a little bit about what Mark DeRosa has done to be that factor for, you know, Brett Laurie this season, and do you think it was a good move to retain his services?
Yeah, I think it was a good move. The team that supposedly claimed him was supposedly under 500, which kind of diminishes the value of him. Probably would not have been able to work anything out from a trade to get anything super. Not that he would hold tremendous value anyway. But I think, like you mentioned there, with Brett Laurie, he has more value being on the Blue Jays than as a leader and a mentor than what they would possibly get in return, if anything at all. Mark DeRosa has really helped Brett Laurie improve his game, kind of slow down and become more mature, you know, not only on the field but off the field. And Brett's kind of attributed this a lot to Mark DeRosa as well. So it's nice that you have that veteran presence to kind of coexist with Brett Laurie. And Laurie is taken to DeRosa right away. They were friends starting, you know, spring training. And it's really key to the Blue Jays that Brett Laurie figure this all out. Because, you know, we know he can play amazing defense, but the last year and a half, people were starting to be skeptical of his bat. Is his bat up to the level that it was hyped up to be? And I think DeRosa kind of helping him mature at the plate, slow it down, has really helped Laurie. And I think we can potentially see that future All-Star player if he continues on this path with help from DeRosa. That's not saying it's all on DeRosa. Obviously, Laurie's kind of figuring it out himself. But having that veteran presence in the locker room has been key, not only for Laurie, but, you know, some of the rest of the team. And I think DeRosa is someone you bring back next season to add that veteran presence.
I really hope they do bring him back next season as well. And I know his numbers may not have been the greatest this season, and they haven't been for quite a few years, ever since his days with the Cubs, but he's just that awesome guy in the locker room, great with the media. You know, he can take questions for them, and he can, you know, calm guys in the dressing room and in the clubhouse as well when need be.
Exactly, but I mean, even that, you said his numbers aren't spectacular, but compared to the last two or three seasons, they've actually sort of improved. He's shown more pop this year. He's been successful in some pinch hit scenarios. So, you know, there's a few reasons why Mark DeRosa should stay in a Blue Jays uniform.
Jeremy Pearl for the Blue Jays Report. Jeremy, thanks so much for joining me this week. It's been a slice.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Talk to you next week for the Blue Jays Report. Jeremy Pearl on Spud Sports Sunday. So that just about does it for the August 11th edition of Spud Sports Sunday. Only two episodes left this summer. I hope everyone enjoyed the show and that you're able to join me once again next week right here on Everything Classic 102.1 Spud FM. You can check us out on Facebook, 102.1 Spud FM, or on Twitter at Spud FM. You can also follow me at RyeGuy11. Spud Sports Sunday is broadcast live on 102.1 Spud FM as well as online at www.spud.fm, a division of MBS Radio. If you missed tonight's episode or if you wanted to listen to it once again, the podcast version will be available on our social media pages later tonight as well as on iTunes on our Sports Superstation. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Ryan McKenna. This was Spud Sports Sunday for August 11th. So long now.